Luke 19, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." I don't believe that the Lord performed any miracles in the city of Jericho itself, because it's the city of the curse. But as he was passing through Jericho for the very last time, the Bible says there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, to have the Lord Jesus Christ in the home is without doubt the greatest of all blessings. To have him in the home is a special blessing. And to have him in your heart is a blessing beyond price. If you read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that one day he visited in the home of one named Jairus, where he performed a wondrous miracle in Luke chapter 8. In that home, Christ was wanted. And then in the home at Bethany that he frequented so often, Luke 10 reminds us, Christ was worshipped. And in this house of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, Christ was welcomed. Welcomed by a man who would not normally have anything to do with Jesus. He belonged to that hated group that worked for the Roman army of occupation. He was a tax collector, publican, not the owner of a pub, but a tax collector. None of us are too happy with the tax man at times. Well, he was despised and hated above all men among the Jews. But I want, just for a few minutes, and as I say, I'm conscious of the time, I want to look at this man, this great surprise that came to this great sinner. The first thing I want you to notice is this. Zacchaeus was a man who was successful. The Bible tells us in verse 2 of the passage that he not only was a publican, but that he was chief of the publican. This was no ordinary 5'8". This was no common individual. This was a man of position. This was a man of power. He was exalted by the Romans, and because he was chief among the publicans, he had great power. He was over them all. He was a man that could pull strings. In a very real sense, he was one of these characters that's not what you know, but who you know. My grandfather on my mother's side worked his entire working life in Belfast docks. And I remember years ago, Granda lived until he was 96 or so. and was still working at the docks well in his 80s. But I remember he was what was known and what was called the blue badge docker. That meant that all the work that came in, because he had the blue badge, he got priority. And this blue badge was something very special, because a father could hand it down to his son, not to anyone else. It was a position of privilege. And it gave to the docker concern a certain amount of power. And Granda had several sons, and no doubt this kept them all in order, because two of them at least were at the docks working. I think my Uncle Johnny was the man that ended up with the badge. But it gave him a position and a privilege, and it gave him power. And as many people knew, Granda said, he had great possessions. My grandfather was a fairly wealthy man. Let me say right away, I didn't get a shilling in the will. In fact, one son got it all. And my mother and her sister got a couple of £100 each, but one son got £1,000. I remember Granda's bedroom with all these big, some of you may remember the big white fibers. Do you ever remember those? The young people here wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. But a £5 note used to be a big white note. And my Granda had piles of them in his bedroom. My mother said, he sat me down one time and he threw all these fibers up in the air around me. Of course, if he'd have done that when I was 18 or 19, he wouldn't have seen half of them again. But he was a very careful man with his money. He offered me £2 once after I had my surgery as a young fella for the polio. He said, if you can walk, son, from that chair to that table, there's £2. Now, £2 55 years ago, was maybe £200 today. But it was a fortune. I nearly died trying. But I couldn't do it. He just put the £2 in his pocket. Didn't even substitute it for 2 pence. But that was by the way. But the badge was the thing. He had, like Zacchaeus, he had power and privilege and great possessions. But this man, with all of what he did have, and with all his success, was a sinner. A man condemned and unclean. A successful man. There's many a man in Ulster tonight, and you could write success over their name. They're successful. But he was also a man who at this juncture in his life was seeking. Verse 3 reminds us of that when it tells us he sought to see Jesus. Man, that's a great word, isn't it? What a blessing it is in the life of a sinner, whether he's successful in business or not, what a great thing it is when he seeks for Jesus. It was Martin Luther who said, I think, I spent years looking for Jesus, not realizing that all of the while Jesus was looking for me, because he came, as the text tells us, to seek and to save. He's a seeking Christ. But this man wanted to see him and was committed to it. Verse 4 reminds us, he ran. He ran. What determination characterized this wee man. You know, small in stature he might have been, but I tell you, he was big in his determination. He was so anxious to see Jesus that he ran. We have difficulty in many churches tonight getting people to come in big air-conditioned vehicles, or to walk 100 yards to the church door. But not with him. He was so anxious and concerned about getting his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ that he ran. He was committed. I wonder tonight, my friend, in our little gathering, anyone here committed? Making a point of getting to see Jesus? Not only did he was committed, he climbed this tree to see Jesus. Verse 4. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. What an undignified thing for a man like him to do. This man of position, this man of power and wealth, climbing a tree. Probably young children all in the branches of this tree as well, because kids do climb trees. It didn't bother him. He was so anxious to get to see him that he climbed the tree. He couldn't see him for the press. That's nothing to do with the Jerusalem or Jericho post and pressmen. No, not at all. That's to do with the crowd that was thronging him, as they always did everywhere he went. But this crowd never stopped him getting to see Jesus. They tried to with their numbers. You see, folks, listen. It's so easy in life to go with the crowd. When I was a young teenager, before I ever came near the Free Church, I was very much into loyalism. And Orangeism, nothing wrong with that in its place. But you see, I'd never heard the gospel for 17 years of my life. And I went to school with lads that ended up in paramilitary groups. It was only the mercy of God that arrested and saved me when I was 18 that kept me from it. But I was on the fringes when the Lord entered my life. And I had this thought, if I get religion, if I come to Christ, I've got to face these mates. I've got to go to them and tell them, listen, I have come to Jesus. I'm saved now. How was I going to do it? For I'm not naturally a brave man. But oh, you must never let the crowd turn you away from Jesus. That thief on the cross that trusted Christ in his dying moments, he didn't let the crowd deter him. He didn't even let his companion deter him. But he turned from his companion and he turned from the crowd and he turned to Jesus Christ. Friend, that's what you need to do tonight. I'm not asking you to join the Free Presbyterian Church. I've never done that in my life. Mr. Paisley often gave me words of wisdom, and I'll tell you one that he did give me that I've never forgotten. He said, brother, never you ask anybody to join your church, for you will have enough trouble with the people that God sends you without worrying about trying to get anybody else. And you know something? He was right. I've never forgotten that. That was the truth. But I'll tell you this. I would sit with you the whole night long if it would help you to come to Jesus. I would help you to climb the sycamore tree so that you would get a glimpse of the Savior of men. The crowd didn't stop. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You see, there's a day when he may not be found, when you will seek for him and he not be there. People say, I'm going to live my life to the full, and then like the dying thief, at the last moments of life, I'm going to come to Jesus. Fred, listen, there was another thief there, and he didn't come. And he went on in his dying moments in rejection, and went to hell, where he still is tonight, as we meet in this lovely building. Oh, don't trifle with this. This is far too important. He was a man who was successful, a man who was seeking, and then he was a man who was seen. This is the wonderful thing. I tried to put myself in Zacchaeus' shoes. And I'm up the tree. And then I see him. And he comes, and right under that tree, he stops. And he looks up into the branches. And my thought is this, he sees me. And then he calls his name. He says, Zacchaeus. He knows me. Come down. Oh, he wants me. He wants me. And friend, that's a summary of where you are tonight. For I can tell you this. With God's word before me, I can tell you this. He sees you. He knows you. And he wants you. Wonderful when the Lord sees us and says something to us. And then the blessing of the Lord sought to be with him. And verse 5 summarizes it all. Here's what he says. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Isn't that wonderful? Not a question of maybe or possibly. It's definite. You see, the Lord definitely wants you. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Tell me, do you know you're a lost sinner tonight? I'm not asking you what church you go to where you hang your hat on a Sunday. No. I'm asking you, are you saved tonight? For that's all that matters. Do you know Christ as your Redeemer? Does he dwell in your heart? He's a man who was seen. The Bible says, thou God seest me. I'm glad he saw me in 1966. On the 5th of November. I'm glad he saw me. A man who was seen. But then he was a man who was submissive. For when Jesus said to him, come down. The Bible tells us in verse 6. He made haste and came down. And received him joyfully. You know, friend, God's mercy gives you joy. Some people go about who profess Christ as Savior and they're so miserable. And downcast. And sorrowful. But the joy of the Lord tonight should be your strength. The scripture says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Need a bit of joy in your life. He was a man who was submissive. It's not enough, you know. It's not enough just to hear the word of God. You need to respond to the word of God. You need to be obedient to the word of God. You need to come down when he tells you. And he says this to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, are you laboring tonight? Are you heavy laden? Here's the advice we give you. Come to Jesus. Cast your burden at his feet. Receive him. And that will happen as you're born of God's Spirit. Then he was a man not only submissive, but a man who was sorry. Verse 8, he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's more than the law required. That's more than was expected of a repentant man. But there's a great verse showing the reality of repentance. You see, in order to be saved tonight, you've got to repent. Forsake your sin. Turn away from your sin. Never go back to it again. And when you do that, you'll receive him joyfully. John the Baptist to the Pharisees said, bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. Prove the reality of the work within you. That's what Zacchaeus was doing. He was showing the world and everyone else what true repentance is all about. And I want to tell you, friend, if you repent tonight, turn from your sin and receive Christ into your heart, there will be fruit. It will be known. He that steals will steal no more. He that lies will lie no more. He that lives a life of fornication and wickedness will do it no longer. Changed by the grace of God when you meet with Jesus. The final thing here is very simple also. Here's a man who was successful, who was seeking, who was seen, who was submissive, who was sorry. But bless God, here's a man who was saved. Verses 9 and 10. Jesus said, this day, not next week or next year, this day is salvation come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Beloved, what a word of assurance this is. God can save you and God will save you. But you must come to Him. You can't bluff this or fool around with this. You have to come. And I'm asking you directly, individually, personally tonight, have you ever come to Christ? I'm not asking you if you're Free Presbyterian, Protestant or Roman Catholic, what you are. I'm asking you, have you ever come to Christ? And I'm pleading with you, friend, if you've never done that, that this night you will come. If I can help you, if you want to talk to me about it, I'd be happy to see you afterwards. But please don't go out of this meeting without Christ Jesus in your heart.